Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're happy you're with us this evening, this March 15, 2026. We haven't been here the last 2 weeks because I was away, and I want to apologize for that. But our brother and friend Ray Powers got us on the air. He made sure that he ran a program. And Ray, thanks for all you do for this ministry. Ed, it's good to be back in the studio with
yes.
you. It's good to be back here. I tried to work it out to where I could do this via Zoom. But, you know, where I was, when we had our Bible study on Wednesday nights, mm-hmm. I did get to do that. But I had to borrow a banquet hall that was there. And they were kind enough to let me use it. Mm-hmm. I had a couple of interruptions, just a couple of times. But it worked out good. And I couldn't always get the schedule when I needed it. Everything was booked up. But Wednesdays, for some reason, was available both weeks. So that was really good. And also, we want to welcome everybody here. And we're going to continue this study that we're talking about, the life and ministry of Jesus. And this is part 15, which is really good. This has been an excellent study.
Do you know what? Go ahead and keep talking. I want to share something. When you said that, you said you couldn't believe it's part 15.
Yeah, it's been a lot of parts.
John 20, 30, and 31 says, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing that you might have life in his name." And there's another one that talks about
the very end of
there's
John.
Not enough books.
Yeah, the very last verse of John, I think it is.
Okay, yeah, John 21, 25. "And there are also many things, whatever Jesus did, which, if they should be written singly, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books that would be written."
Yeah, that's a really good thing because think about it. The things that are recorded, Jesus' ministry was 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And we just have really relatively a few pages.
A sampling.
Yes. Yeah. What did he do? And think about what he has done and what he will do.
It shows you his character, the love that he has for people and for this world.
Yeah, it surely does. It really does. And that's the thing. What God inspired these men to put down is in these Gospels is so encouraging.
Yeah. I didn't mean to start a study. But
no, that's good. This is great. You can never start too early.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's talk a little bit about Prophecies of Hope and why we do this. Ed, tell us a little bit about this ministry.
Well, Matthew 24 says, "When this gospel is preached through all the world, then Jesus will come again."
Yes.
And that's what the world needs, Jesus to return. I mean, what's happening in the world around us, all the devastation, the violence, wars, natural disasters, drug cartels, you know, just one thing after another.
Sure, yeah.
It's just, it's not getting better, I'll tell you that.
No, and this is, like you said, Matthew 24, we're told that these things would increase more and more. And that's why, as an independent ministry, you know, we hear Prophecies of Hope. We're not affiliated with any church or denomination. You and I, Ed, come from different backgrounds.
Yep.
I believe God brought us together, and I believe God has helped us to bring this ministry. It's because of what he has done, not what we have done, that this ministry exists. And tell us a little bit about where we are and what we do here each week.
Well, we're in Stanton, Virginia, 1743 West Beverly Street.
Mm-hmm.
Stop by and see us.
Sure.
And we've been here since 2015 in the beautiful Shenandoah Valley. And we have our services on Wednesday evenings at 7 for our Bible study, available via Zoom or physically be here. And we have services on the Sabbath, Saturday, the seventh day of the week. And we have our Bible study, what we call Sabbath School, at 9:30. And then we have our worship hour, 11.
Yes. So you're welcome to join us anytime. Now,
the Sabbath School is Zoomed and live streamed, and the church service is live streamed as well.
Sure. And if you'd like that information, just email us. And Ed, if somebody wants to email you, how do they do that?
You can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
You can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. And just so you know, the studio that God has given us is not actually in the church. We are next door to the church.
In an old house.
Yeah, this actually used to be a business, believe it or not, mm-hmm. called Stanton Typewriter.
Okay.
It was they sold typewriters and they repaired them in this building. And we have this studio built here. We have a little place where we can have Bible studies. We have a table out here in the main area. And then we have a little kitchenette. And then there's a place where we can print and mm-hmm. publish DVDs.
Yeah.
And then what
else?
And
upstairs we have an apartment for guests.
Yes, we do. So if you ever come and you would like to visit with us, we'll show you, we'll give you the grand tour, and you can have fellowship with us in the fellowship hall. It's not a big facility. It's very small.
Small little
teeny
ministry.
Tiny. It'll take us about 5 minutes to show you around.
Yeah.
But we would love for you to come and visit with us.
But this is what God has given us. He has literally given us these facilities.
Yes, absolutely. We'll talk about that sometime. We've talked about it in worship, but we've never talked about it on the air. We'll have to do okay. that when we're through with this study at some point.
Maybe you could show them pictures.
Yeah, I could show them right here on the radio. What do you always tell me, Ed? I have a face for radio,
yeah.
you say. So, and it's probably a good thing that you can't see me. So this is the ministry that we do here that God has given us, and we feel very responsible and accountable for the things
yes.
that we say and the things that we show you in the Bible. We would go ahead.
This is why we are always reading the Bible.
Amen.
On here. We want you to see what God's Word says.
And we want you to open your Bible with us and see in your own copy. And if you don't have a copy of the Bible, send us an email and we will see that we can get you a copy, either a King James or a New King James. We have these really nice giant print editions and we will try to get one to you as long as it's legal to send it to your location. If we can't ship it to you from here, we will find a way to get you a Bible as long as you can have one. And if you can't, there are ways you can get it through the internet, maybe through a phone app. There are
sure.
where there's a will, there's a way.
Sure.
That's what I was taught when I was a kid. And so you can find God's Word somehow, some way. And is there any other business that we have to talk about, Ed?
I don't think so.
You kind of got our study started early.
Yeah.
But why don't you have a prayer for us?
Sure. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, again, we're grateful for the blessings you give us every day, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, whereby we have salvation, through whom we overcome sin in this world. Father, as we open your word today, the Bible, give us wisdom and knowledge to understand it, to apply it to our lives, to encourage us, and may you guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, I mentioned a little while ago that we were in, this is part 15 of this series, and we're only in Matthew chapter 9. And there's just so much information here. So where do we leave off 2 weeks ago?
Well, why don't we start in Matthew 9, verses 14 through 17. Do you mind reading those?
Not at all. And I'm reading this from the New King James Bible. This is Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. Hopefully you will be reading along with me. It says, "Then the disciples of John came to him," that's they came to Jesus, "saying, 'Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?' And Jesus said to them, 'Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and they will fast, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into the new wineskins, and both are preserved." So this is a parable of some kind.
So fasting. Fasting is simply eliminating or decreasing the intake of food into your
yeah,
body.
Abstaining from eating
yeah.
or drinking for a period of time.
So what it can do physically, it can cause cleansing of your body,
mm-hmm.
allow your body cleansing. Spiritually, it can make you more open to God speaking to you.
Sure.
I'm not talking about literally speaking, although that can happen, but, you know, just speaking to you in terms of directing your life, giving you guidance. Maybe you're coming to Him with a problem, you don't know what to do, and so you do some fasting. You know, there's a few medical things that we need to talk about briefly with fasting is that, you know, if you're not in good health, that maybe something you should talk to your doctor about before you attempt to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest that if you never fasted before, never go past 48 hours the first few times so you know what to expect. And if you have a problem, just stop the fast. You know, don't cause a problem. But the disciples of John the Baptist, are asking Jesus, we fast and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples don't fast. Why is that? And he said, because I'm there with them.
Right.
You know, I'm giving them information. I'm directing them. I'm teaching them the will of my Father. They don't need to fast because I'm there with them.
So fasting can, as you mentioned right at the beginning, you said, fasting can help to kind of clear our mind.
Yes.
And it's true. It's very true. And fasting can come in several forms. First of all, I want to say this, that every person fasts and they don't even realize it. When they go to sleep at night, you don't eat throughout the night.
Right.
And that's why they call the first meal
break fast,
yeah. Right? It's breakfast because you're breaking that fast. And really, your body recovers during the night. Not eating causes it to go into a certain mode, and you're in a rest mode, you're sleeping. And when you break that fast in the morning, it's like you're starting over again. And so fasting can be from food. It can be from maybe there's a sugary drink that you like to drink, and you can say, I'm not going to do that, which we shouldn't drink sugary drinks anyway. It can also be from, you know what, I'm going to not watch certain things. I'm going to keep from doing that. I'm going to start to abstain or eliminate something.
Yeah, decrease my time I'm online or stop using my phone so much or whatever it may be.
Absolutely.
To allow you to better communicate between God and you and Christ in you.
Amen. Now, this, of course, is speaking of fasting from food.
Right.
But I just want people to know and understand fasting can come in different forms because we're so distracted in this world, Ed.
So Jesus explains the reason they're not fasting is because I'm here with them.
Yes.
You know, I speak the words my Father gave me to speak. The miracles I do through the Spirit of God upon me. And so they don't have a need to fast then, but when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, then they shall fast, talking about himself, the bridegroom. You know, it's something interesting in verse 15. It says, can the sons of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them?
Hmm.
You know, he's talking about the disciples.
Right.
And he's calling them sons of the bride chamber. He's not calling them the bride.
Oh, that is interesting. Yeah, there's a big misunderstanding in Christianity about this, isn't there?
And so we're not going to get into it now, but just to make people aware of that, he's not calling the disciples the bride. Okay, but he also says the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them. That's when they will fast. Now, the next two verses, 16 and 17, I never have understood how this all relates together. I don't know if you have any ideas, Mark. But
I don't really have many ideas, but when I read this, it's obviously he's speaking a parable of some sort.
Yes.
And it makes sense when you read this. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Because it's not going to be right. It's not going to fit right. Eventually, it's going to cause a problem. And then if they put, when it says, nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, because what happens, that new wine, eventually it will ferment and it'll burst those wineskins.
Mm-hmm.
So
I assume old wineskins are less flexible or less pliable.
Yeah, I think that they would probably... they would probably rip easier. And so, you know, I don't, there are some things that Jesus spoke that they didn't understand, and there are some things that Jesus spoke that I don't understand.
Yeah. I'm sure this may be more relatable to the people in that culture in that time period.
Right.
But I have never understood this.
Yeah, I don't claim to understand this either. But
and how does it relate to not fasting and Christ being with them for now, and then he'll be taken away, then they shall fast? It seems to be related. I mean, he's still speaking there to them, so
sure.
I don't understand it.
But when he says, like you said, when he says, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, they did eventually mourn when
yes.
when Jesus was crucified. And so, and they were worried about him not being with them.
Or them not being with Christ, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we're still learning, friends. We're not scholars. We're not educated as far as what people would consider a seminary education.
Right.
So we don't have all of the answers. We've mentioned that a number of
times. All right,
why
don't we continue on Matthew 18? Let me read from verse 18 through 26. And this is going to be in the modern King James, Matthew 9:18. While he spoke these things to them, he was still talking to them about what we just read. Behold, a certain ruler came and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter has just now died. But come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." Talking about faith.
Mm.
And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, a medical issue, a health issue, came up behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, "If only I shall touch his robe, I will be whole." But and will be whole, made well, made healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 22, but turning and seeing her, Jesus said, "Daughter, be comforted. Your faith has saved you." And the woman was saved from that hour. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said to them, "Go back, for the little girl is not dead, but sleeps." And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put out, he went in and took her by the hand, and the little girl arose. And this report went through into all the land.
Hmm.
So this is a very short version of these accounts, that Jesus' interaction, especially with this woman. Because when this woman touched him in Luke, it talks about that Jesus says, "Who touched me?"
Right.
And the disciples are going, "Master, people are crowded all around you. Just, you know, they're pressing into you. What do you mean somebody touched you?
Right.
What is that? You know, what are you talking about?" But Jesus knew that power had left him, what the book of Luke says. And this lady confessed that she had touched him.
Yes.
But again, the faith of these people, the faith of this father saying, "You know, my daughter just died. Can you come and raise her? I know you can do it and she will live. Lay your hand on her and she will raise her." And so the faith is just unreal of these people.
It is.
Would I have that kind of faith?
You know, I ask myself that often when I read these accounts too. And that account that you're talking about in Luke, just so people can look this up, is in Luke chapter 8. Verses 40 through 56, that's where we find that text. And in verse 40 is where it says, Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me."
Yeah.
So that's the text you were talking about. Let me see here. I'm trying to... So it's always nice to know that there are parallel accounts. There are other writers that write about these things, and it does. It fills in some gaps sometimes.
Right. Luke 8:48, talking to the woman that touched the hem of his robe, he told her, "Daughter, be comforted. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
Mm.
And so, you know, this is interesting because in Luke, this man's daughter is ill, and then he wants Jesus to come heal her. But
right.
And then in verse 49 someone says, your daughter's dead. Do not trouble the teacher. We had talked about this a few weeks ago.
Right.
So there are some differences in the accounts. And all I can say is there are differences.
Sure.
We can't explain it.
Sure. And the other thing, too, is keep in mind that God allowed the individuality of the writer to come out. He didn't necessarily force them to write a certain way. John speaks of love more than any of the disciples. Matthew was a tax collector. Luke uses illustrations having to do with being a physician. So their personalities came out in their style of writing and the things that they said from their life's experience.
Sure. Well, you know, it's like, I mean, this example has been used a lot, but if you witness an accident, someone else witnessing an accident may remember different details or may have seen things differently from a different angle. So.
Sure. And you might report, if you and I see an accident, you might say, well, it was a red car and a brown truck. I might leave those details out. I might not even mention it was a car and a truck, the two vehicles, I might say. So this was allowed, this was permitted, God permitted this with the writers of these accounts.
Yeah, when this little girl was raised from the dead, this report or this account, this information went out into all the land. It was widespread. People heard what Jesus did for this man and his daughter. So why don't we continue in Matthew 9:27, if you could read verses 27 through 31.
Sure. It says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him. I just was making sure I was in the right place there, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country.
I'm sure the news spread very fast because this is very unusual things happening.
Yeah.
This woman being healed after 12 years, this man's daughter raised from the dead, these men who are blind, their eyes are opened.
Yeah, and the country, the people in that town probably knew they were blind. So when they see them walking around without assistance and doing things, and they had to know this happened.
You have to understand this, too, about the culture in Jesus' day. If you had some kind of disability, you were considered a sinner because you must have done something wrong for God to have this done this to you.
Right.
That was the culture of the day.
That's why it was in Job's day. He was accused of that.
Yeah. And so if you see someone all of a sudden healed or someone raised from the dead, you know, this not only was a physical challenge to their understanding, but it was a spiritual challenge to their understanding. Think this person was a bad person because, look, they're blind. They must have done something bad. Or as the disciples asked Jesus once about the man with a withered hand, who sinned, him or his parents?
That's right. I remember that account.
Yeah, that's in John chapter 5, I believe.
Okay.
And so, you know, that was the culture of the day. And maybe that's part of our culture today as well.
I believe it is, because I've had people say, well, he must have done something wrong for that to happen to him.
Yeah.
And I think it's just the mindset. So many times, I do find that when I live according to God's will, my life is better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because God will allow me to be punished or this or that, or because, well, you've done something wrong, so God is punishing you. No, if we live by the things that God tells us to do, life is going to be better because our choices will be different.
Well, that's the whole account, the whole story of the children of Israel.
It is.
In the Old Testament, when they followed God and kept his commandments, their life was good.
Yeah.
When they didn't, it was not good.
because the things that we do that are against God's law are harmful to us.
Sure.
And whether you are a believer or not, if you live by the commandments of God, if you say, you know what, I'm not going to steal from somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to commit adultery with somebody. I'm not going to lie. If you just do those things, whether you believe in God or not, your life will be better because you're doing what is right and what is good.
Right. So you notice the common theme in all these accounts, these stories, is the theme of faith.
It is.
They believe. They believe Jesus can do this. Do we believe Jesus can work in our lives? Do we believe that Jesus can help me with my difficulties when I go to him, that he can help me overcome the things I need to overcome in my life that shouldn't be in my life? Do I have that kind of faith as these people had?
Yeah. In verse 28, Jesus asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? So if you believe, then not only does this show that we have faith, but it becomes a part of us. Believing is not necessarily just seeing things. You know, seeing is believing. You've heard that.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
That's Hebrews 1.
You don't see any way that it can happen, but you still
Hebrews 11.
Trust God and his promises and believe that no matter what happens, God is wanting the best for you.
Amen. And that's what it is.
Well, that requires that we make good choices as well, and that we live our lives according to the way God wants us to live them.
Right. So people say seeing is believing, but you just quoted Hebrews 11:1, which says faith is believing without seeing.
Yes. Yeah.
So you see how we get things turned backwards in this world?
So, you know, these things are happening. This is a daily occurrence in Jesus' life when he was on this earth.
Mm.
Can you read verses 32 through 34?
Sure. It says, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casts out demons by the ruler of the demons. Wow.
This is accusations that the Pharisees have made about Jesus in several different places in the Bible. And so Jesus in Matthew 12 says he cast out demons by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of his Father. So they're actually calling Jehovah God, the Father of Jesus Christ, Satan. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, they're calling God the devil.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. And so let me see. There's actually, I think, what verse was that? That's verse 34.
Yes.
And I think Luke 11 also has this account, if I'm not mistaken. I'm just looking very quickly here. Luke chapter 11.
But all these events, this may be one day that all these things are occurring. And can you imagine living in a time where Jesus, the Son of God, has come to this earth and God is using him to preach the gospel, to preach the words that his Father gave him to preach. And by the Spirit of God, he's healing people, casting out demons, making the blind see, making the lame walk, the paralyzed walk, raising the dead. And I can't imagine living in a time like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Where you could see these things happening, see right. The results. You know, verse 15 of Luke chapter 11 says, but some of them said he casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. So we know who Beelzebub is.
Yeah, Satan.
Yeah. And, you know, what you said, Ed, about these things that Jesus did here. I believe that Jesus coming is sometime soon. We don't know when.
Right.
But we see things happening, as we mentioned at the beginning, that are recorded for us in Matthew chapter 24. These things that Jesus was doing here on a local level there in this vicinity where these people were, that they could see, and they saw these miracles happen. This is what Jesus is going to do on a universal scale. on this earth.
You know, I heard this the other day. The physical things that God did through his son, Jesus Christ, they could see in order to help them believe the spiritual things that they couldn't see.
Hmm.
You know, Jesus in John chapter 3 talks about to Nicodemus, if you don't believe the earthly things that I tell you, how are you going to believe the heavenly things I tell you?
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh. And so by doing this, it brought, my word finding is so bad, it brought not accountability, but that Jesus was real. He wasn't fake, you know, by doing all these miracles. So they then could trust him in believing the spiritual things he told
them. Sure.
About how to live your life, how much God loves them, you know, that he was going to be the Lamb of God, the Messiah.
Absolutely.
That would shed his blood on the cross for them, that they could have forgiveness of sin, that they, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed, mm-hmm. talking about sin, talking about the power of a living Christ.
Right. And these things that he was doing was to help them to see who he truly is.
And to see who his Father is.
That's right. Because he says, I do nothing of my own, nothing mm-hmm. on my own, but what the Father tells me. So when he was healing the blind man, it's because the Father wanted that blind man healed.
Yeah.
When he resurrected that little girl, it's because the Father wanted that little girl resurrected. So think about that. Jesus is doing everything that the Father wants. And so many Christians paint the Father as this mean, vengeful God.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is here saying, I'm showing you.
Yes.
I'm showing you who the Father is. I'm revealing it to you. Yeah, this is the love.
If you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
That's what he says.
And this is why he says that, because he's doing the will of his Father. He came to do the will of God. He put all his trust in his Father.
And I think for me, Ed, it's so important for me in the ministry that I do personally for people to realize that God wants to save them. He doesn't want to be distant from you. He wants a relationship with you, with the individual, with whoever is listening. He wants a personal relationship with you.
Yeah, in 2 Peter, it talks about people scoffing, saying, you know, we've heard about Christ coming ever since we were little. Where is it? Why hasn't he come? And it goes on to say that God is not slack concerning his promises.
Right.
But he wants everyone to come to repentance.
Yes.
Everyone. To realize the true nature of the state of our heart and mind, that we need to repent. We need to repent of the evil and the sin that is in us and desire to follow God and be obedient to him. That's what he desires. He wants everyone to experience that.
Amen.
But it's our choice.
We can choose whether or not we want to follow Christ or not.
Yes.
So
let's finish with Matthew 9:35-38. This is the modern King James. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people.
Mm. That's amazing.
Just go through a town, everyone was healed.
Yeah.
Everyone.
He met the needs of each person.
Yeah. And, you know, it wasn't just about healing. It was about preaching the gospel of the kingdom.
Right.
The good news that there's salvation. There's a way of forgiveness through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. A way to overcome, to live
yes.
a different life, a better life.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, the importance of that,
yeah.
and that he doesn't leave us alone in that.
Verse 36 of Matthew 9, but seeing the crowds, people followed him. They crowded around him because of everything that he did, as well as what he said. He was moved with compassion on them because they were tired and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Isn't that the truth today?
Absolutely. Yes. And the thing is, there are shepherds, but they're actually sheep. They're wolves in sheep's clothing
yeah.
is what they are.
They're teaching falsehood.
Because they're not teaching what the Bible says.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Verse 37, then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out laborers into his harvest.
Boy, this has been a prayer of mine for a long time, Ed, because we were just talking about this past Sabbath. It's preaching the gospel is like walking uphill into a rainstorm, into a headwind.
Yeah.
It's just, there's so much opposition. There's so much falsehood. There are so many people that are working against what the Word of God says.
Yes.
You can show them in the Bible what it says, and they don't want to believe it.
They don't want to see it. They don't want to hear it. They have their own philosophy, their own understandings, their own doctrine, if you will, the tradition of men. And, well, it doesn't really mean that. You know, you're not, this isn't really going to happen. You know, God really wasn't there in the garden, you know, whatever they say.
Sure.
You know?
Whatever it is. And, you know, think about what was taking place here with what we're reading. So, you know, we've read here this evening, this girl was resurrected. These two blind men were healed. A mute man speaks. And the Pharisees accuse Jesus of doing these things by the power of the devil rather than giving the credit to God.
Yep.
This is really the battle that we struggle with today.
Mm-hmm.
You point people to God's word, the Bible, and they want to insert their own thoughts there and twist it to whatever they wanted to say. This is what the Pharisees were doing.
Yeah.
They were taking the wonders of God through his son and turning it into something vile.
And it can happen any place.
It can.
Even here.
Yes, it can. We have to be so cautious and always on guard and always watching. And I'll be honest, there have been times where people have come into this ministry and thought that they were going to overturn what the Bible says.
Right.
And we've had to really, this has been a battle.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a battle. And we've been warned in Scripture that this would happen. Paul was really a master at telling about how to fight against these types of things.
Right. So, you know, Jesus saw the needs of the people, and he saw that they were tired and scattered like sheep having no shepherd, and he was moved with compassion. You know, Jesus was one person traveling around the countryside with his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a limitation there.
Sure. There was only 13 people there, right?
Yeah. And so he understood that there needed to be more people involved in the gospel. And not only that, but he was only going to be on earth for a short period of time.
Sure.
And that he would need others to continue to preach the gospel, continue to preach the good news. And the miracles didn't stop when he left.
That's right.
The Spirit of God was poured out on the day of Pentecost. Jesus received the promise of the Spirit from his Father, and he shed it abroad, is what the Bible says. And so there were many miracles after that as well.
Yes, there were. Acts chapter 2 is really a place where you can read about some of those things that took place. Also, you know, this statement of Jesus, pray that the Lord of the harvest send out laborers into his harvest. This is something that we should be praying more and more often, especially now, because people are being infiltrated with false doctrine, and really, the laborers are few. We need help as a ministry here in trying to get these things that we're sharing. That's why we're doing this. That's why we do this radio program.
You know, even our little community here, people thank us for tidying up the neighborhood, because the church, it was really run down.
It
when
was.
Bought it. It was just raining and snowing inside. It was just overgrown, and this office that we're in was not in good condition either. And so people thank us for doing that.
Sure.
And they appreciate that. But there's very few that really want to come and study God's word and know what it says.
That's so true. I don't know. People don't. It's no different now than it was then, I guess. People, they want the things that Jesus can provide.
They want the benefits.
Yeah, but they don't want to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
And so it's really, it's a lifestyle, isn't it?
It's a change in your life.
Yeah. Complete change. It goes back to that song that you said, where's the change, right?
Where's the difference? You know, I've got my Bible, I've got my What Would Jesus Do bracelet, I've got my necklace with a cross on it, I've got my bumper stickers saying, honk if you love Jesus. But the question's asked, well, what about the change? What about the change in you, in your life, in your heart, the way you live, the what you speak, what you do?
Right.
That's really what this is all about.
Absolutely. To be changed into the character of Christ. If it can happen to a man like Saul, who became Paul,
yes,
who was someone who would murder Christians, and he ended up being a champion for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's amazing. If that can happen to him, there's no one that would hear this that can't become a follower of Jesus Christ.
Right.
No one. No matter what your circumstances, you might think, I've done too many things in my life. There's no way that God can accept me. No, that's not true.
Those very reasons are the ones that Jesus came to save me and you.
Amen.
You know, I read a book, and the man was talking about people who say, well, I'm not good enough. You know, I can never be saved. And he says, how fortunate you are.
That's really powerful.
How fortunate you are, because you're the very person that Jesus came to save. That's why he came to this earth.
Right. Yeah, when you have that feeling, remember that, because that's a powerful statement, the person who wrote that. It really is. And I never get tired of hearing that, because it makes me realize that no matter where I think I am, no matter how down I am on myself, you know, you can be grateful that you recognize your need.
Yes.
For something better.
It's part of how change starts.
That's it.
You recognize your need.
That's it. And we all, every human being, has a need for Jesus Christ in their life. And I just hope that people recognize it.
Yeah. Well, why don't we go to Matthew 10?
Okay.
And if you could read the first four verses for us.
Sure. It says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him.
Now you may look at these verses and say, well, it's, now we know who the names of the disciples are, but what does that tell us? You know, I've been preaching again
yes,
in our church.
I'm glad.
And I've been preaching on Acts 2. I'm doing multiple sermons because really talking about the gospel. And I realized as I was studying that the 12 disciples included Judas,
mm-hmm,
who betrayed Christ.
Yes.
And he was given the power over unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all kinds of sickness and kinds of diseases.
That's what it says in verse 1.
You know, we've just been talking about making choices in our life, experience a change in our life, deciding to follow Christ. Well, on the night of the Last Supper, the night before Jesus was crucified, Satan entered into Judas in the presence of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm, the Son of God.
That's right.
Because of what the decisions and choices that he made in his life and what sin and evil he cultivated in his heart allowed that to occur.
Right.
So you can be right next to Jesus and think you're okay, but what you do in your heart and mind, which is totally opposite from what Jesus Christ preaches, can end badly.
Sure. The choice is ours. You know, this really flies in the face of a doctrine that many Christians believe. They believe that once you're saved, you can't lose that salvation.
And you can do anything you want.
Yeah, and that's so dangerous. And we see here, just from these short verses, that there was one who walked with Jesus, who, like you said, Ed, it says right there in the verse, he was given power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease, and yet he chose another direction.
At one point, the disciples had a man bringing his son to them, and they couldn't cast out the demons.
That's right.
And Jesus was able to do that. And afterwards, they asked Jesus, well, why aren't we able to do that? And Jesus said, well, this kind takes much fasting and prayer.
Sure.
To have that relationship with his Father, to have that power that God gave Christ. And through Christ, he gave the disciples to do these things. And so it matters how you live your life. It matters what you take in. Because what you take in helps decide what comes out of you, whether it's in your actions or your words or whatever you do.
And when you say what you take in, this includes every aspect of all of our senses.
Right. And so again, Judas, the night of the Last Supper, Satan entered him, even in the presence of Christ, who had cast out demons that they could not do because he had spent much time in prayer and fasting with his Father. And yet, Judas chose, was his choice, to live his life to the point that Satan could enter into him, even in the presence of the Son of God. It hit me so hard when I saw that. I said, wow.
Yeah. It is unbelievable to think that that could happen. And if that can happen to someone who is literally there with Jesus, how much easier would that be for that to happen to me in this world?
Right. So our choices matter. The Bible says now is the day of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Today. Don't wait. You know, choose to follow Jesus. Seek forgiveness of your sins. Repent. You know?
Yeah. Repent doesn't mean just admitting that you sinned.
Right.
It means taking action and turning away from it.
Yes.
And that's the hard part. You know, I can be sorry for what I did, but turning away from it, and that's where Jesus doesn't leave us hanging. We've talked about that.
Right. You know, sins can be habits. Habits are difficult to overcome.
Yes, they are.
But we have the promise of power through Jesus Christ to overcome things in our life.
Yeah, it's a gift that we have, and it's because Jesus came and he lived and he died and he lives again. And he helps us to overcome by his Spirit dwelling in our hearts.
Right.
So don't think that you're left alone, friends.
You know, we were talking here about called his 12 disciples.
Mm-hmm.
This was this close-knit group that were with Jesus, I want to say all the time. I don't know if they were always with him, but I think the majority of the time they were.
They spent a lot of time together.
Jesus had other disciples because it talks about the 70.
That's true.
In John chapter 6, when Jesus is talking about, I'm the bread of life, I'm the bread sent down from heaven, many of the people that heard their words when he said, you know, you should eat my flesh, drink my blood, that whole conversation, he said after that, many of his disciples left him.
Right.
At the end of chapter 6, it says that. And he says to the 12, are you going to leave me also? And Peter's response was, to whom shall we go?
Yeah.
For you have the words of life. We believe you are the Son of the living God.
That's it. And, you know, a disciple, just so you people know, a disciple of Jesus is one who follows Jesus.
Yeah.
So you today can be a disciple of Christ. We are called to be disciples.
Right. You know, I had a conversation with a gentleman a couple of months ago at church. You know, he has grown up in the same background that I had, mm-hmm. and so had his wife, and his wife still considered part of this denomination, and he did. He says, well, what do you tell people? Because people want to know what denomination you belong to. And I said, I consider myself a follower of Jesus.
Amen. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, it's not following a church, following right. a preacher, following prophecies about hope.
Right.
And it's about following Jesus.
And that's the thing. So many times we affiliate our walk with God and His Son according to what church we're in.
Right.
Well, if I'm a Baptist, or if I'm a Presbyterian, or if I'm a Catholic, yeah, or if I'm, you know, you name it, you feel like, well, I'm a follower of Christ. Well, no, typically, coming from the background I come from, I was following my church. Mm-hmm. I wasn't following Christ because I found that Christ was saying things that were contrary to what my church was telling me. So taking those labels sometimes, it pigeonholes us into a place where, mm-hmm, well, if he's a Baptist, he believes X, Y, Z, or if he's a Catholic, he believes, but the individual might not believe what the church teaches. They might have a closer relationship with Jesus than I do.
Right, right.
So don't count people out because they're part of a church or a denomination.
By their fruits, you shall know them.
Amen.
By how they live their lives. By how we interact with people, even in the difficult situations.
That's right.
Is Christ directing you? Has your heart changed to, I have a heart for someone that's not maybe very easy to love?
Yeah.
Do I seek their good versus that person's worthless?
And that is the hard part. Yeah. That's the hard part for me, because my sinful nature gets in the way. And sometimes if somebody rubs me wrong, I have a tendency to be able to look past that. I've been given a gift for that, having been in business. But I can look past it and deal with the person. But really, would I be willing to give my life for that person? Because think about it. Jesus laid his life down for people who hated him.
Who nailed him on the cross.
That's right.
He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. How do you do that? I mean, really, from the heart, how do you do that?
I don't know. And this is where I lack. And I want that. I mean, I have friends that I would die for.
Mm-hmm.
And you're one of those. I would. I mean, but if somebody that rubbed me wrong, I can't say that I would do that.
Right.
And so, but that's what Jesus did.
That's where he's trying to lead us to, that we can see the value that God and his Son Jesus sees in each human being on this earth that often we don't see in each other.
Yeah, that's it. And he had an advantage in that he could read the heart.
Yeah.
All I can do is see what I see. But sometimes if you get to know a person, sometimes if you spend some time around them, you'll see parts of them that will endear you to them,
yeah,
even if you had
an issue
with them.
That's what they're going through.
Yeah.
Maybe that explains some of what I'm saying.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And having lived life, and maybe we have gone through a similar thing, we can empathize more.
Right.
This is the beauty of what Jesus has done.
He has our experience now. He lived his life on earth. He's suffered on this earth so he could be the perfect mediator, the perfect comforter, the perfect intercessor, the perfect high priest, the perfect advocate, because he has our experience. He was tempted in all ways like we are, yet without sin.
So he knows what it feels like to have our experience.
He knows heartache.
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. When he was hanging on the cross and he realized that God had to withdraw from him, there he was.
Mm.
My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Right.
Right? And he did that so that he could bear my sins, really, for me, for you, for every person.
Right. You know, even in his ministry, not everybody loved Jesus.
Yeah, that's true.
Not everybody wanted to be around him. I'm sure Jesus was rejected by many people during his day.
Hmm.
Yet he came because he loved each one that reject him, yet they wouldn't accept him. They wouldn't listen to his message. They wouldn't accept his healing, not only healing physically, but healing spiritually.
Yeah, you know.
Isaiah 53?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking for.
Mark is opening his Bible.
Yeah.
And I kind of figured that's where he was going.
I ended up in the wrong place. You know, we only have I want to encourage people, because we only have about a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes, to read that.
It's 13 verses, I think.
It's 12 verses. Okay. Yeah, Isaiah 53. Maybe next week when we start, we could start with Isaiah 53, because really this explains the love that God has for us, the love that his son had for us, and really what he did, what Jesus did in coming here. And I don't think that we really think about these things. I think most Christians, most of us, we go to church, we do our thing, we worship God, we sing a few songs, we go home, and we don't even think about it during the week. For me, Ed, it's a lifestyle.
Yes.
My whole life revolves around the decisions that I should make according to God's will. So far, I haven't been able to hit it 100%. Yeah. I'm still working on that. Yeah. But I have to say that I can see refinements that God has made in my life.
Yeah, there's a verse that in Philippians 1:6, that he who began this work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, until Christ comes again.
Yes.
It's God working in us to transform us, to change us.
Amen. And he will do that. So, you know, I don't want to be a Judas Iscariot. I don't want to be someone who walked with Christ and then has that heart that gets hardened and changed to where I'm going to not do the will of God.
Right.
And the only way that we can do that is to keep praying and keep studying and keep not allow room for the devil to come in.
Trying to apply what you've learned from God's word to your life.
Amen.
Through the power of Christ.
Amen. And so, unfortunately, we're out of time. Yeah. But maybe if for homework, if you read Isaiah 53, read it and see what it says. It's a beautiful text. So, Ed, I'm going to close with prayer.
Sure.
Father in heaven, what a blessing it is that you have sent your son, Father, not just to live and die for our sins, but, Father, to live now again and to help us to be able to overcome. Father, I just ask that people who are hearing this program, as they hear it, that they will make a choice for you and your son, Jesus Christ, that they will allow Jesus to come into their hearts and change them from within, and that they will ask him and want to do these things, because, Father, we know that you will never force us. So help us to make the choice for you and your son. Please be with us, Father, until we come together again. We thank you so much for this time together, and we say this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, friends, we're just so glad that you were tuned in. We hope you tune in again here next Sunday, 7 p.m. on New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.